Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show on every evening, either at 6:30, 8, or 10, or 11, on the button every day, every evening, including weekends and weekdays. Now, I'm going to tell you a little about the parameters of this show so you understand where I'm coming from. First of all, I have a significant literary interest in literature, English literature, American literature, French, Russian, German, etc. This show has a literary emphasis, and many of the blogs and much of my writing has been in the literary area. Second of all, the show has a biblical and theological emphasis. I have an MDiv degree from Princeton Theological Seminary in biblical languages, and I have a significant faith in Christ and will follow him to the gates of hell if I have to. This show has a philosophical emphasis and is political also. Now, I am a conservative, but I also follow Christ in concern for the poor and underclass, and therefore I am not totally concerned with right-wing ideas, you might say. Now, I'm going to tell you a little about the parameters of this show so you understand where I'm coming from and what we're going to be talking about. First of all, this is a politically incorrect show. It's not. We don't believe in political correctness and media lies, media falsehoods. We believe in critical thinking and honest discernment and intellectual honesty. And we're about to get at the facts and the truth. That's what we're concerned about in this show, not with political rhetoric, frankly, not with political lies, right and left. They're wasting our time. The knowledge I'm interested in is found in the great books such as Milton's Paradise Lost, E.M. Forster's Howard's End, or A Passage to India, or T.S. Eliot, or many, many others. And so this is a Christian show, and we have an emphasis on Christian belief in this show, although I welcome all faiths and ideas and opinions 100%. I'm willing to dialogue with every religion, every idea, every concept that you might imagine. But the show is a Christian show, and we believe in the full authority of Holy Scripture. We also believe in the creeds of the Church, the Athanasian Apostles and Nicene Creed. That is what we're concerned about. And if I read books or you read books, you should read G.K. Chesterton, T.S. Eliot, St. Thomas Aquinas, Augustine, the Epistles of Paul. Those are some things to feed your intellect with that will bring you truth and light to your lives. I run two radio shows, a podcast show and a blog talk radio show, and have many visitors from all over the world visiting these shows. And I'm very happy to say that my dear Muslim brothers and sisters visit these shows, and particularly from Saudi Arabia visit this Blog Talk Radio show. I'm extremely happy with our Muslim brothers and sisters visiting these shows who live in Iran, Iraq, and Saudi Arabia. I welcome them. I want to dialogue with them. I want to know them. I want to understand them. I want to grasp their thinking and meet them halfway, as I would meet every person halfway in thinking. There's nothing more valuable than a dialogue in thought, nothing more valuable, where we can learn from other ideas and concepts that will inform us fully, and more fully and more completely. Next, I have written 10 books, Christian books and legal books, Select Legal Topics, Volume 1 and 2, and a workbook, Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, and a book on the parables, which I'll be concerned with tonight. One of the parables I'll be interpreting and talking about, and the parables are wonderful stories which present the mind and ideas of Christ. Christ is the mind of God, and to read the parables is to read and understand the thought of the living God in heaven as he showed himself on earth in Christ and continues to reveal himself. I've written a book on the Psalms, which has been sold quite well. It's an analysis and commentary of all 150 Psalms, and I think you'll find it interesting if you read it. And you also, I value the Psalms greatly. They are the spiritual food of the church. John Donne said of the Psalms, they are the manna of the church. They're great. I read them in seminary in Hebrew. I read them in English in Sunday school. And I've never ceased to be moved by them and led by them and brought to spiritual truth through the Psalms. I memorized the first, second, and 23rd Psalm as a young person, and the Psalms are the pointers for my religious thinking and my Christian thought. The Psalms are, I think, the words, the mind and the ideas and the words of Christ, literally. We cannot read the Psalms more than enough. They are so profound and so deep and so beautiful. They are Hebrew lyric poetry of an outstanding character, and I suggest you read the Psalms if you want to read great Hebrew lyric poetry, whether in English or in Hebrew. They're equally great. Psalms are equally great in any language they're translated into. I challenge you to look at the translation of a Greek play, such as Aeschylus, Sophocles, and Euripides, and look at a translation of the Psalms, and you come to which you will come to first. I think it will be the Psalms. You will be moved by more completely than any other translated piece of work. I'm writing a book on the miracles in the Bible, and I'm writing a book on the book of Job. Job is an Edomite. He wasn't Jewish, but it's in the Hebrew canon. And it's a great, great book of the Bible in which there is traced the trials laid on Job by God. And we all try to understand in this book why he was tried and how he came through these trials and tribulations. I also have written over 900 blogs of a literary, philosophical, legal, and biblical character, and political. I think you'll enjoy them. I'm formatting them into three blog books. I think you'll find them fascinating and interesting, I hope. I think there's no replacement for print as a medium of thought, of any kind of deep thought. And the three books I'll be writing, I think will have value to some extent. I would hope so. I don't think I'm that great. I think I'm trying to bring thought to the world on some level. That is my object. I think that print is the medium of thought. It is the ultimate medium of thought and the only medium of thought. And I trust that print will never be eradicated from the thinking of people. Young and old, middle-aged, whoever they are, read, read, read. And if you don't read books, I say this, if we don't hate read books, we will move into a kingdom of darkness and ignorance, which is happening to some extent now. But a war without books, a war without reading books, a war without reading great books, such as War and Peace, such as Anna Karenina, such as E.M. Forster's A Passage to India, such as C.S. Lewis, such as G.K. Chesterton. Without reading these books, we are barren, we are lost, we are in darkness. And we will descend into that darkness unless books are read constantly and absolutely. Next, I would like to tell you that I've written two academic articles, which were published by an international scientific journal in Albania, and they've been bought by the State Department and by many other universities in Europe, Asia, and Africa, etc. In addition, journal article on the Syracuse Law Review on criminal procedure has been bought by the United States Supreme Court and the State Department. So I hope that you find you'll get it. I'm very happy that these publications of mine have been bought and been paid attention to. I'm quite happy about it. I'm flattered, and I think it indicates to me that in what I write, I do have something to say, which the world is buying. However lightly, however limited the sales are, there are people reading my work and listening to my ideas and giving my ideas an intellectual shot. Tonight I want to talk about one of the great parables of the Bible. In chapter 31 is an analysis of this parable in my book, The Parables of Jesus, A Personal Commentary. And the parables in parable of the barren fig tree is found in chapter 31. It's found in Luke chapter 13, 6 to 9. As follows, Jesus says, and he told this parable, a man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, lo, these 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig, and I find none. Cut it down, why should it use up the ground? And he answered him, the vine dresser said, let it alone, sir, this year also, till I dig about it and put manure on it. And if it bears fruit next year, well and good, but if not, you can cut it down. So this is really a quite a mysterious set of words. Man has a fig tree, and he comes seeking fruit on it and finds none. And he says to the vine dresser, I've come seeking fruit these 3 years on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. He says, why should you use up the ground? And the vine dresser says to him, let it alone till I dig about it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But then next year, if it doesn't bear fruit, you can cut it down. The parable starts with the principle that there should be permitted 3 years for the fig tree to grow. However, since that time had passed, it starts with the supposition and principle there should be 3 years for the fig tree to grow. And since that time had passed, and the fig tree did not bear fruit, the vine dresser proposes to give another year with fertilizer. This request is granted. He says, give him another year, even though for 3 years there was no fruit, and for the fig tree to bear fruit. But the vine dresser says, give it another year with fertilizer. The request is granted. It's not clear precisely how this parable is to be exactly interpreted. It is possible the idea behind it is that we are given an added chance in our lives when we have done no good works or truly righteous action, that God will give us a second chance. That seems to be one interpretation of it, where Jesus says, well, you can have a second chance, like in the fig tree, given another year to grow. The idea is God will give us a second chance. The idea is that there will be a stay of possible judgment against us for a life that is wasted, and that we'll be given another chance by God to be what he wants us to be. When this time has passed and we haven't grown and we're the same, there will be a final judgment and God's mercy, which has been extended, will no longer be extended. So really, what we're talking about here is that the idea behind it, that we, as in the fig tree, after 3 years, which it bore no fruit, the vine dresser is given another year to apply fertilizer. And the idea behind it is that we are given an added chance in our lives when we have done no good works or truly righteous action, that God will give us a second chance. The idea is that there will be a stay of a possible judgment for a life that is wasted, and we will be given another chance by God to be what he wants us to be. When this limit has been passed this year, and nevertheless we haven't grown, there will be a final judgment, and God's mercy, which has been extended, will no longer be so. Perhaps the parable could represent a second chance for repentance, or at least a change about or improvement. The parable seems to say that God will give us more time or an added chance to bear good fruit or be the good person he wants us to be. There will come a time when we will no longer give us another chance, and there will be judgment on the basis of our lives or works. So the parable could present the second chance where another year is given for the fig tree to bear fruit. The parable could represent a second chance for repentance or improvement or change. The parable seems to say that God will give us more time or an added chance to bear fruit or be the good person he would want us to be. But there will be a point in time when we will no longer give us other chances, and there will be a judgment on the basis of our lives and works. I think this is a very deep and telling parable. I think you should read it. Luke 13:6-9. I think you should understand it. Every word of Christ is the mind of God speaking. So I think don't deny the significance of these parables. And I think that if you read this parable and read my interpretation of it, which is on pages 81 and 82 of the book, and it's on chapter 31, I think it will be helpful to you. Most of all, I ask you to read and read and reread the parable in Luke 13:69 and understand what Jesus means by it in every way. I hope you've enjoyed this little talk tonight. Night.